that if we, if you do the, do the site characterization, find that for some reason the water table is strangely higher than we anticipate, that we can't construct, that something's in the way.
Would that just require more fill? Would you just?
Well, I guess it depends where it is. So it depends on where, you know, on the western side where there's a cut. I don't expect it, but if that happens.
Okay, the on the bedrock elevation contours map that you were referencing earlier.
What do you know the date?
That is A15.
Oh, I don't know.
This map with the little circle that we had out earlier. I'll give you a second. A15, and I'm looking at the PAGWIS bedrock elevation contour map.
Oh, okay, yes.
You indicated that valley that's shown here that flows through the site is what precludes the water from the site flowing towards the springs, correct?
So, yes, if we're talking about the valley structure that's on the western portion of the site, yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's a concern that you've addressed, but my question is, as it pertains to the road that sort of goes right through the middle of that valley on the other side of Route 6, does that, which as you identified is the direction of Mr. DiBiase's house, is that the direction that the water would flow, and does it then mean that there is a potential risk for the properties in that area, in that valley?
Yeah, so if we confirm that the direction of groundwater flow is in that area, we would be reaching out to the homeowners in that area, you know, to measure water level, water quality in their well, et cetera, and look at that.
Okay. Going back to A5 on page 4, I'm going to read to you something. At the last hearing, well, maybe I don't have the right thing. A5 on page 4. At the last hearing, there was some question about a meeting of the Planning Commission, the report for which you were quoted, and you indicated you were not present at the meeting. But this is your report, correct? And the language here is, but the formation may be vulnerable to contamination and surface water influence. Since the project site is adjacent to a PennDOT facility and adjacent to 84 Route 6, the shallow groundwater may be vulnerable to contamination from surrounding development, fuel storage and transport, spills, and road salting activities. That's really the exact language that was in the Planning Commission minutes in reference to you. So does it appear as if it came directly from your report, and is your words via your report?
Yeah, I believe that the letter just mistakenly thought Dr. Cook was I, and then, you know, saw my report and wrote it. The only comment I have about this is the characterization of the site with respect to what I'm worried about with respect to drilling a well on the project site. What my worries are and what I have to manage.
So many papers. Thank you. In your professional opinion, sir, if the property were to be developed as proposed, what would be both the positive and I don't know that there is any, but negative effects of a large fire where upwards of 1 million gallons or more of water and firefighting chemicals might be used. Is that within your?
No. That wouldn't be part of my.
Okay, would that be part of Mr. Cook? Mr. Gable's pointing at himself. Okay.
Yeah, that's an engineering control issue.
And what would be the positive or negative effects of a 5+ inch rainstorm on the water table located beneath the surface of this property?
That's another engineering issue.
Engineering.
And also the characterization of the site is going to give us the data we need to fully evaluate that. For Mike.
Okay. That's all that I had on my list. I just had a note. Is the water infiltrating on the site connected to and potentially contaminating of any other wells, not just the MWA's water supply? And from what I'm hearing, just correct me to clarify, you don't know yet.
I don't know that.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I don't know any complaints.
Thank you. I don't have anything for
you. Have any? No? All right. Most of what I got written here, you went over already. A couple questions. Was there an actual groundwater infiltration study done on this property?
Can we talk about that?
Well, to answer the question, if you know.
If you know.
There was a recent study done.
Okay.
I believe that's part of those documents that were raised in question earlier, and that's why I didn't know how to answer.
So we anticipate they'll be testified to at a subsequent hearing. Is that what our understanding is?
I would assume that would be a Mike thing.
Yeah, that it's going to be used. Mr. Gable will talk about those two studies because they were done for him, his benefit, basically.
Very good.
Okay, I'll try and keep it to 4. The septic location, you mentioned at the last hearing that it was moved from the original proposed site. Is it still within 10 feet of the test pits?
No, I when I was in looking at the map, it was hard to see where it was, and I was thinking it was moved. I don't think it was moved.
Okay.
That way. But no matter what, we have to redo the testing anyway.
Other than the source water protection plan, were any of the other studies for the connection to the spring site specific or just in the general area?
What do you mean?
I mean, were they based on specifically that site, you know, that surrounding area, including that site, or just a generalization of the whole area?
I still don't know what you mean. And maybe I missed it.
It wasn't site specific, right?
What wasn't site specific?
The studies for the bromide and all that.
Correct.
So the
studies that I reviewed were the studies that were cited in your source water protection plan. And so there was a study for Route 84, the gravelless quarry, the bromide assessment that was done, and the oxygen. So those were the sites that were evaluated. There was no studies specifically for the warehouse site.
Okay. Is that included in those?
Well, I mean, by region and, you know, what we're talking about it is, yes.
By region, but
by
not
context,
but not specific.
Not specific.
Okay.
What are the impacts of the Route 84 north on Sauk Hill and your springs? Well,
right.
My site's in the middle. You know, and what we learned from that Route 84 said, you know, says something that relates to how we're connected and how the vulnerabilities seem to exist and where.
Okay. The water that's under the site, it seems to be split between the Sauk Hill and the Van Tine.
I think so.
Okay, that's what, this is what we've been discussing. But either way, both sides would be contributing to drinking water in one way or another.
No.
No private wells will be on them one side?
Wait, no.
That part of the aquifer?
From that point of view.
Yes.
So, yes. Yes.
It may not feed the Water Authority the way you're saying, but
right.
It will be feeding other wells.
Right, and that's part of what would be part of the assessment. Part of the assessment is once we understand how the flow system works, reaching out to the private well owners that are downgrading it or adjacent to the private, documenting water level in the wells, documenting water quality, that would be part of the assessment that would have to be done.
Okay. I'll hold it at that.
I just have one more. The 1968 study that talked about the 84 and its impact on the public water supply, did it identify sections or specific portions of 84 that were impacting the water, or was it just 84, you know, in its entirety?
I don't remember all of it, all the findings, but in general, they were finding that the problem areas were located in the Vantine Brook watershed area, and there was also some erosion right along the 84 cartway. That was an issue out there, and they recommended a series of strategies to deal with them. One was to actually send the water to that other watershed that was mentioned,
Vandermark,
to push it there.
But were there any of those strategies that should be implemented with construction on this site in order to prevent turbidity impacts to people whose wells are within the flow zone?
I think it's too soon to say that now, but again, once...
I'll say again, I think it's just...
Too soon to say that now, what specifically is needed. I mean, again, right now, he's proposing water quality units and other infrastructure, you know, to try to create that necessary barrier and remake some of the natural features. But once you have the site character, the additional site characterization, and that data is shown, you know, what that shows is what it shows. And if there's something in, you know, that comes from there, there's a time to bring that up. Hey, we need to do, we found this. I don't know what this is, though.
I have nothing further.
I got one more. One more quick one. It's just a clarification. And at the last hearing, you had said that you could install monitoring wells as soon as the conditional use was approved. It's not that you need the conditional use approval. It's just that you're not going to be paid to do that until they get the approval, correct? Because you can do the monitoring wells before the approval.
So installing monitoring wells has two conditions. One, I don't have a proposal to actually physically install the monitoring wells into the site. So the other aspect of that is before we install monitoring wells onto the site, we're going to have to reach out to DEP and talk about where we're wanting to put things to make sure where we're putting some things to help characterize the site are taking their things into consideration. So for example, I have a pre-drilling plan that says I need to get that approved. That pre-drilling plan is going to have monitoring features. I got to find out what he says. So there is a bit of a delay because I'm going to have to reach out to those DEP entities to get their feedback.
But that could still be done.
Oh, I think it's, again, part of the conditional,
I mean, if you can place a well, you can place a monitoring well. So, I mean, with what you have.
Well,
I know there's a process. Don't mistake me.
Well, the other aspect of that is that all of a sudden something changes, or is if we don't like the entrance here, we like it over here, and now the building's going to be here, well, that now changes, and now I have a monitoring well in the way. So that's also part of the problem, is to get rid of those, you know, so we have a good idea of what the site might look like, so that when something gets put in, it's not in the way.
Yeah, but you won't have that until you do the land development anyway. That's it.
Anything else in the township?
Engineer?
Okay. Any redirect?
No redirect.
Well, we're after 9 o'clock, and I think the attorney spoke, and it looks like October 19th, from 6 to 9 is the date that each of us location to be determined, so I think we'll need a motion to continue the conditional use public hearing for this application is October 19th, 6:05.
I'll make a motion we continue this conditional use hearing until October 19th.
I'm sorry, who made the motion?
Gary Williams. I'll second it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Then one housekeeping item before we adjourn. We need to move the excerpt transcript into the record as evidence. So we have just that version that we refer to throughout the testimony within the record.
I so move.
Good.
How do we want to mark that?
Is that just the official transcript?
The excerpt that was being used this evening?
Do we need to mark it as anything or just?
We can do that.
We have three of them.
Sorry?
We have three of them. The May 22.
No.
The one from today.
Oh, this partial transcript.
Correct.
Right, this excerpt.
John, Claymar, do you have this?
How are we marking?
Mark it.
Mr. Claymar, second.
Are you going to adjourn? Adjourn?
Yeah.
Aren't you going to adjourn? Did you adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Who made the motion?
Gary Williams, I second it.